This week on Six Stars Only, we're talking about the one and only Donald Glover, and we're going to trace his humble beginnings from one of the very first breakout YouTube channels to becoming one of the world's most successful, not only video creators, but also comedian, musician, just all around phenomenal creator. We're going to see how he did it by tracing his journey, drawing out lessons that you can take back to your channel to start growing faster today. Let's get to it. Ah, Master Jake, how are you today?
I'm good, man. How's it going?
Do you like that? A little medieval flair? Is that good?
I do, yeah. Master Jake. Are you still doing CrossFit?
Yeah, I'm doing the CrossFit thing. It brutalized me this morning. I was suffering. But 5:30, I was there doing I don't know what you call it, front cleans, something. I don't know. They're things that sound like something you do in the shower, but you actually do with a barbell and with heavy weights.
Yeah.
But power clean is apparently power not clean, like a bathtub maneuver. Who would have known? Yeah. What else is new with you?
Just work, man. I applied for a radio station here at Tulsa, and I recently got I'm in the background check phase of hiring, so it'll be part-time. But I'm excited to kind of get into the more radio kind of world again, as opposed to just doing it kind of on the side with this podcast. But it's good. And then I ate Brahms today, which is always a good day, so.
Already food reviewed that, so you couldn't do double duty.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Shame. Well, I have a real treat for you, Jakester. Do you know what we're covering today? Well, you do, because you obviously have the show notes in front of you.
Yeah,
but no. Pretend for a minute that you didn't.
I have no idea.
But we're talking about Donald Glover, man.
Man, I'm super excited. I have to say, in our on what we have on deck, when I saw this, I was like super excited because I know of him and I know of his work, obviously, because he's just like a master. But I'm super stoked to just kind of learn more. And just kind of take, just to touch the hem of his cloak and to get a double dose. I should not be talking about a double dose of Donald. Maybe he can just rub off some of his talent on me because he's one of the most talented people working right now in like every field, writing, music, you know, comedy, what have you. He's in movies. I am so jelly. He's Lando, man.
He's Lando. Like, he's literally Lando. And he's going to be Simba, too. He is blowing up right now. After recording this in, what is it, June 2018? Mm-hmm. He's everywhere because like within the span of like 2 or 3 weeks, he hosted SNL and was the musical guest as Childish Gambino, which is, I mean, you could probably just stop right there.
So
but not
talented.
Only that, he was also a Star Wars Solo came out. So, bleh, let's try that again, all right? Solo, a Star Wars Story, there we go, came out, and he was playing Lando Calrissian, you know, one of the most famous characters in Star Wars, nailed it. And he also released one of the hottest YouTube videos of all time, This Is America, which some incredible just production, incredible message, really original, and it's racked up a ridiculous amount of views in a ridiculous amount of time. I think it was one of the fastest growing in views. Yeah. YouTube
has anyone
ever.
In recent memory had a better like few weeks than he did, just in terms of just success in different fields? Because he was the pinnacle of like everything, like comedy, music, and he was in a hit movie.
He really is. So. And it seems like an overnight thing, right? But like we always talk about on the show, you know, it's, you know, behind every overnight success story, there's like 10 years of really hard work. And so what I kind of want to do today is I did a little bit of light research and I just kind of want to trace through the history of Donald Glover from his early beginnings in YouTube to becoming a mega superstar in, you know, music and video and comedy and acting and all these things that he's doing super, super well and see, okay, what were the habits? What were the things that he did over time that got him to where he is today? And hopefully we can tease out some lessons after that and kind of break down some of the things that he did differently than most people and figure out how that's relevant to us in 2018 as aspiring creators. Who could be, you know, well, I don't know if I'm going to be the next Donald Glover in 10 years. I probably won't be, but that's okay.
If
There's
I could
still
just be
a lot to take away from that.
If I could just be like a fifth of him in 10
a
years,
fifth of Donald Glover,
I would be happy.
That's your new channel name, 20%
Donald Glover. I'm going to like type it up right now. But man, I'm excited. I'm ready to learn. My body is ready. So let's go for it.
Well, all right. Well, Donald McKinley Glover Jr. was born in September in 1983 in California, but he was actually raised most of his life in Stone Mountain, Georgia. And he, when he was younger, he'd attended DeKalb School of the Arts. And this is one of my favorite little trivia pieces. From his high school, he was given the award most likely to write for The Simpsons in his yearbook. Which is prophetic. Really fitting because we'll get this in a minute. But a spec script of The Simpsons that he wrote actually went on to change his life and totally changed the trajectory of his career. But we'll get there in a second. So one of the things that he did, you know, he graduated from high school and he went to New York University and got really involved in a few different things. Oh, well, actually, and back up just a minute. In high school, he was definitely a creative dude. He got involved in music creation and stuff using like a pirated version of this music software called Fruit Loops, which I had you heard of this?
I had never heard of it in my
I've
life.
Never heard of that. So. I only know the breakfast cereal. I don't know the the music thing, but apparently Same. He did, and he would like bring it home, and he skipped school to like make beats and all these things. So even early on, experimenting with you know, music and different things. But once he gets into college, he starts getting really involved in the improv scene. And so he gets involved in an improv group, and he actually goes on to start one of the first YouTube channels with these people. This was in about 2006. So this is in the first year or like the first year after
this is like
YouTube was created.
Proto YouTube.
Ground floor of YouTube.
Ground floor. Numa Numa YouTube.
Yeah. Numa Numa YouTube. This is incredible. This is when, actually, this was pre-Sneezing Panda. This early days. I know. No Casey Neistat. No Philip DeFranco. No, nothing. There's no one out there. There's just these guys and their old grainy camera making this stuff. And they called their channel Derek Comedy. And the reason why they called it Derek Comedy, I didn't know this, whereas the name of the three guys were, well, there's Donald, and then there's like Dan or Don or something. I forgot the rest of the names of the other guys. But the Derek was a D name. That was none of their names. And so they're like, we'll just call it Derek, you know, split the difference. So that's how you get the name Derek Comedy. They started making some goofy YouTube videos, and it actually caught on really fast and got a lot of views and got a lot of traction because they were doing kind of these very edgy, funny, sort of over-the-top videos. And even I was watching some of them, and they're like head-shaking, and they're like pretty raunchy. They're definitely not the...
I know exactly.
Much worse than I remembered them being, yeah, honestly.
You go back and you're like, oh my gosh.
You can see elements of like, okay, that 30 Rock writer that Donald Glover would go on to become, like kind of punching through there. He would hit on different stuff. They were definitely pretty scripted. And I think they were even actually ridiculously scripted, every single one. I think there's very little improv actually in those videos, which is funny because they're an improv group, but. That was him flexing his writing muscles. Also, while he was in college, he got involved in creating more music. He released his first of many mixtapes, The Younger I Get, and started DJing as MCD, and later he revised that to McDJ, which I don't know what that means. That sounds like something on the dollar menu, but...
McD.
Hey, yeah. Donald Glover, I can't
judge
you.
I'd
buy it. Yeah. he graduated in 2006 with a degree in dramatic writing, and at age 23... he was hired by Tina Fey as a writer for 30 Rock. So I knew that. Do you know? Because I think a lot of people know worked for Tina Fey.
I heard from you, actually. That
So I knew about the 30 Rock connection. But do you know how he got the 30 Rock connection? I did not know this.
I have no idea.
Let me fill you in on the deets. Because I'm always curious about this to learn about, you know, how people got the job or, you know, because a lot of times that slips through the cracks. So you just kind of hear, oh, yeah, he worked with Tina Fey. He's on 30 Rock. That's cool. But how do you actually go from, you know, graduating with a degree in dramatic writing to actually having that job? You know, that's really cool. Well, here's how it happened. So there was this producer. His name was David Miner. Who has a name that definitely sounds like an executive, would go on to do all these shows such as Parks and Rec, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Master of None, as is in Sorry Show.
Oh my gosh.
And Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. And so he actually reached out to Donald, had seen some of his work. I don't remember if it was Derek Comedy or something else. But basically, he was interested in his work. And Donald sent a spec script that he'd written for The Simpsons to David Miner. Which, by the way, for all the new kids on the block at home, Jake, can you tell us what a spec script is? Because I think I learned about this from you, actually. Or we learned about this together.
Yeah, so the way, and I'm going to butcher this, but essentially a spec script is you find like a show that you really like, let's say 30 Rock or just any show that you like, and a spec script is that you essentially just write an episode form, and a lot of times it's used pretty much like in the case where you just kind of, you show your writing skills to a producer or someone and say, hey, here's like this episode I wrote, and it kind of just kind of it proves that, you know, you're funny, you're good at writing, and also you can take, you know, like character traits and stuff that, you know, like is already happening within the series, and you know, that way you can apply it to your own episode and everything. So basically it's just making something for a show that you like, and then just shipping it out there and pretty much just showing yourself off. And if it's really good, like in Donald's case, then it can get you a job if it's really good, obviously. But
yeah, that's it. Money. And so the spec script he wrote in, he loved it. He showed it to Tina Fey. She loved it. And so they hired him on at a young age, 23. That's not super old to be working on like a major TV show. And, you know, it wasn't probably a sure thing that it was going to be such a breakout hit at the time, but it did end up being that. And so he was a 30 Rock writer for 3 years, from 2006 to 2009. So actually, while he was doing Derek Comedy, he was also a writer on 30 Rock. So he started in 2006 as a 30 Rock writer. In 2008, he all the while, he's also doing his music, right? So he's getting recognized as a writer, and he's getting recognized and working on a show, getting some experience there. But he is also keeping up his music on the side. And so he releases his another independent mixtape called Sick Boy. And that same year was when he unsuccessfully auditioned to play President Barack Obama on SNL. And it actually went to Fred Armisen.
That's
which
crazy.
Is funny now, seeing him host and go from doing a mixtape to being the musical guest on SNL. Just shows how far you can come. Craziness. And this was a really interesting thing that happened to him next that I didn't realize. So he's doing Derek Comedy, right? They're getting all these views, and they wanted to try something a little bit more ambitious, right? So Donald Glover was not like recognized as an actor, really. He hadn't really acted in anything significant. So him and his buddies from his YouTube channel decided, let's just go ahead and create our own feature length film. So they did. And it was called Mystery Team. So Donald helped write it. He starred in it along with the other guys from the YouTube channel. And they released this movie in 2009, 3 years after starting Derek Comedy.
I had no idea that existed.
Yeah, it's this full-length movie. If you actually go back to the YouTube channel now, they've changed all the thumbnails and like links and everything to go point to Mystery Show. But yeah, they took the attention they'd gotten from their millions of views on YouTube and turned it all towards this feature film, which I don't think did super well, but I think it did apparently well enough. And it was, I have not seen it, but I think I know what we're going to watch on our next movie night. But apparently, even though this wasn't, you know, a broad release, this is pretty indie, this producer named Dan Harmon, who would go on to create the show Community, saw the show Mystery Team, and its release. And that's how Donald Glover was discovered and offered the part of Troy Barnes in Community, which was his breakout role into acting. And so Dan Harmon sees this show that he created with his YouTube channel buddies independently, and decides to cast him in an acting role. This guy from the writer room. And so, totally different thing. Again, music career, just releasing mixtapes on the side, got some writing experience under his belt from his spec script, and then his independent film produced with his YouTube buddies gets picked up, you know, and recognized by this TV show creator, Dan Harmon, and he gets offered an acting role. So he plays Troy Barnes in the NBC show Community for 5 years, from 2009 until 2014. And this was actually where I discovered him. Before I knew he was Childish Gambino, or before I knew any of that stuff, I knew him as like the guy from Community, Troy Barnes. And actually, I think I knew him as Childish Gambino and Troy Barnes because one of my buddies was a big Donald Glover fan and a Childish Gambino fan, and so he found him there. So he did that in 2009. So the same year he joins Community, he releases another mixtape named Point Dexter. And then he follows that up the next year in 2010 with two more mixtapes. He does one Well, actually multiple mixtapes. He has like three mixtapes. He does I Am Just a Rapper, I Am Just a Rapper 2, points for originality, Donald, real clever name, and Cul-de-sac. And so just hammering out the tracks, laying them down. And again, these aren't like full albums or anything. These are just mixtapes, but they're coming in like this rapid succession all through 2010. Also in 2010, he performed a 30-minute stand-up set on Comedy Central Presents on their Showcase program, which I didn't know. And if you've seen the Netflix special, this is not that. This is a precursor to that. So before he ever got offered an hour-long show, this is just a 30-minute TV show special. And so he did that. And then the same year was actually when the whole Donald for Spider-Man campaign cut off on Twitter. And so this is while he was, you know, playing Troy on Community, doing his mixtapes on the sides. A fan of Community suggested that Glover should play the role of Peter Parker in the Amazing Spider-Man film, the one that actually went to Andrew Garfield, you know. Yeah. Yeah, you know, we had Tobey Maguire, and then we got Andrew Garfield. I know, and instead we could have had Donald Glover, but, you know, and what's done is done.
Sony.
At least now we have Tom Holland, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I like Tom Holland.
It has a happy ending, I guess. But,
exactly. But we could have had Donald Glover. We didn't. But all these Twitter followers of Community and of Donald Glover kind of took up the rallying cry of Donald for Spider-Man and kind of ran with it for a summer. And it's actually funny. There's a whole like side story to this where one of the comic creators was a fan of Community. And, in the opening sequence to, I think like season 3 or season 4, Donald Glover wakes up in his room in like these Spider-Man pajamas. And the guy saw this and he was like, oh yeah, I could kind of see Spider-Man like that. And he goes and creates this character in the Marvel Universe, a real character named Miles Morales, who is basically Black Spider-Man. He's like, I think he's Latino or Black. And he wears like a black suit and, he's like in the same neighborhood and he kind of like does some stuff with Spider-Man. And Donald Glover actually voices him in like a 2011 cartoon, I think. Which is funny that kind of this whole Twitter campaign inspired a character, which was then played by Donald Glover via voice, which is funny.
Full circle.
Yeah. It's a whole thing. It kind of blew my mind a little bit. But all during this time, you know, he's acting on Community. He's getting recognized for some stuff. So starting to get some awards. He got like a Rising Star Comedy Award at the Just for Laughs Festival in the middle of that year. And randomly, he's featured by Gap's holiday ads that December in 2010. You can go Google the images. They're kind of goofy. I mean, they're kind of like nerdy, chic, cool. I guess I don't know if he's. I guess he's getting recognized as an actor, or maybe just like a normal dude.
Yeah,
I don't know. I guess it was the acting thing, right?
I had no idea he was.
He is like go Google it like right now. It's actually kind of funny. He's wearing like a vest in one. I think like a scarf in another one. He's kind of making a face, but it's not like a rapper face or like an actor face. It's just kind of a normal guy face. Yeah, it's. I don't know. Go check it out.
I'm trying to make sure my laptop doesn't fall off.
Yeah, worth a peep. It's a little puzzling, honestly. But hey, I guess it worked for Gap. Hopefully he sold some winter wear. There you go.
There it is.
So that same winter with the Gap clothing was also the winter of Derek Comedy. That's when they kind of wound down the channel and stopped doing that. His co-hosts haven't really gone on to do much of anything noticeable, or at least compared to Donald. I think they've been in some like commercials or a few different things, but nothing really crazy from that. I mean, the channel hasn't been updated in years. But the next year in 2011, Donald releases his first EP. So he's moving from a mixtape and he's doing an extended play. And he calls it, again, very originally, EP. Self-titled EP named EP. Which, cool. I mean, I haven't released an EP, so I can't talk, but I mean, I would have thought you'd put a little more time into naming it, but cool. I mean, great. You know, that's really nice. He then goes on to, start a nationwide tour, also originally named I Am Donald.
Good.
Very straightforward, this guy. Yeah. Shoots from the hip. Yeah.
I can appreciate that.
Yeah. You know,
short, sweet, to the point.
Yeah. There you go. So it was like, this was actually interesting though, because you're kind of seeing some things come together. He does a one-man show that is, it's part video, part comedy, and it's part rap.
That's cool.
Which is something not a lot of people could do. Mm. I don't know if I'd want to see Louis C.K. rap. I think I might.
Maybe. I don't know.
Wash my ears out. I don't know.
Louis Anderson. Definitely.
Aziz Ansari? Definitely.
Yeah. I could see him.
But in short bursts. the next, so later that year in the fall of 2011 is when his 1 hour standup special Weirdo airs on Comedy Central. So he's moved it from the 30 minute one, you know, a little bit prior to now he's doing a 4 hour special that gets picked up. You can probably watch it on Netflix if you're in the future, probably not because everything good goes off of Netflix. You know, it's just the rule.
It's so depressing.
Oh man.
Every time I tell my friends, it's like, okay, this so-and-so documentary. Oh, yeah, you know, it should be on Netflix. And I like, look it up. It's not on
there.
So
I
feel like a liar.
Yeah.
They always, Netflix always rips my heart out with, like, okay, here's all this new stuff. Okay, well, we're taking all the things you love.
Yet another Adam Sandler original ready just for you. It's like the Little Caesars pizza of Netflix.
So the rest of this podcast, we're just going to talk about Adam Sandler. I'm just kidding. It's another podcast.
Somebody complained about Adam Sandler on Netflix. That's it.
The genius of Sandler.
Exactly. November, he releases his first album called Camp. And this is where he gets a couple of singles that start to break out and get some more recognition. They actually get on the radio. So Bonfire and Heartbeat peaked on number 18 on the bubbling Hot 100 singles and like the mid-50s on Hot R&B songs. Camp debuted on number 11 at the top Billboard 200, and he sold like a little bit over 50,000 copies. And critics liked it overall. It was a pretty good release. I think this was, I think I found out about him shortly before this, but I remember when this album came out.
Mm-hmm.
He keeps at it. The next year in 2012, he releases mixtape number 6 named Royalty. And he's also featured that same year on a single by Leona Lewis. Do you remember Leona Lewis?
I do, yeah. Bleeding Love?
I haven't heard. Yeah, Bleeding Love. I haven't heard much from her lately. But in 2012, she was the stuff, you know.
She was diva,
she was like
man.
iTunes Store featured, you know. But she
iTunes Store. Oh, my goodness.
It's the most 2012 thing. But she was, Gambino was featured, which if you didn't know, Childish Gambino is Donald Glover's rap name, his rap pseudonym. That's what writers say. His rap name.
Yeah.
And it was created actually from a Wu-Tang, am I saying that right? Wu-Tang Clan?
Yep. Wu-Tang.
Wu-Tang.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to say Wu-Tang Clan.
Wu-Tang. But that's it's Wu-Tang. Yeah.
Yeah. That's just some guys who spend too much time in the sun. No, Wu-Tang Clan name generator. And he got Childish Gambino, and that's what he rolled with. I guess after he decided to do away with Mick DJ as his name,
Mick
which
DJ.
Thank goodness, honestly, not all his naming decisions were perfect.
Yeah. Going clearly, straight to Wu-Tang Clan generator.
Yeah, what's your Wu-Tang Clan generator
let
name?
Let me enter the Wu-Tang. Here
actually,
we go. Arrogant Ambassador.
Know. Arrogant Ambassador?
Yeah. Fits me. All right. And this
Wait,
one's
try,
yours.
Try
or
me.
Yeah, go for it.
No. You tell me.
Yours is... No, it keeps on saying Arrogant Ambassador. Let me refresh the page. 12 hours later.
Do we have the same Wu-Tang Clan generator name?
That can happen. Well, one of us obviously has to change, so... We cannot both be Arrogant Ambassadors.
Well, I beg to differ.
It says Arrogant Ambassador. I don't know if it's
we
like
have
the
same
Thanos.
Name.
I don't know if it's like the, you know, Thanos has killed you or Thanos has spared you thing where like it never changes.
No, I think it does. Well, put Donald Glover in there. See if he.
Name generator. Here we go. I'll go to a different one. Apparently there's several. The actual name generator that gave Childish Gambino his name.
I bet they all say that. It's like saying best cup of coffee in New York City.
It keeps on saying Arrogant Ambassador.
Well,
so that's just the name of a rap group.
Yeah, moral
together.
Of the story, ignore that Wu-Tang Clan chain generator. We'll have to do some research and find the real one and look it up. But anyways, that's how he came up with his name. He was featured on a Leona Lewis song, which I guess was cool at the time.
Yeah.
The song did pretty well in the UK. It was like a top 10 single, so... it was the single Trouble, I guess, which I've never heard, but yeah, I guess it's good. This is what I didn't know. So if as of 2018, Atlanta is like the ish, right? It is a hot TV show, but it actually has its origins back in 2013. In 2013, right, when he was still on Community, Donald signed on to create a music-themed show for FX called Atlanta, that he would star in, write, and executive produce. And so that was actually like one of the main reasons he decided to wind down his role in Community in the fifth season and step out of that to pursue other stuff, you know, that was more flexible and really to create his own show, to not rest in, you know, that one role, but to go and do something else, which I didn't realize how early that process started. I don't think this show comes out for a few years, but
yeah,
2013 was kind of when things started moving towards that. He also appears in a couple guest roles in 2013. So he's in The To-Do List, which I've never heard of. And he also guest stars in Girls, which I've never had the desire to watch. But apparently he's there
Two episodes. HBO show?
I guess.
I've heard of it. I've never seen it.
Yeah.
Lena Dunham. That's something where she's like from.
So he's in a couple of things like that. He also has some cameos in 30 Rock and stuff. So he's had some other stuff. The next year, same year, 2013, I think, at the end of that year, he releases his second studio album after Camp, which is Because the Internet. And that one does really well. It debuts at number 7 out of 200 on the Billboard chart, and does great, which I know nothing about Billboard charts. Well, I know a little bit. That's good. That's really good. That's pretty dang good. Better than both of us put together.
Yeah. No, that's a lot more than I've done, so.
That next year in the spring, he goes on the Deep Web Tour, which, hey, naming game is getting better.
I was going to say, his naming game has improved so much.
Definitely improved. He hired like a marketing team or read a book about naming
guys,
or something.
If there's one takeaway you get from this episode is that you too can get better at naming your EPs and, mostly your EPs and your rap albums. But
it's probably why he got it rejected from SNL the first time. They're like, what is the name of your act? And he's like, my act is not. It's called The Funny Act. You know,
The Funny Man. The Funny Man Hour.
Vanilla oatmeal of names. he keeps rolling in 2014 because he's literally a machine. He releases another mixtape called, I don't know how to pronounce this, Station Mountain, STN-MTN. How do you say that?
I guess. Stinton Mitten. I have no idea.
Stinton Mitten.
That's actually
we're going so strong on the names, and then I don't know. He also releases an EP called Kawaii, which you get Sober from, which was a popular single. And that same year in 2014, he gets his first Grammy nominations for Best Rap Album for Because the Internet, and Best Rap Performance for 3005. So the nominations are stepping up. The music is getting more recognized, and he's also kind of diversifying out a little bit. In 2015, he appears in 3 more films. He's a scientist in The Lazarus Effect, which is like a horror film, I think. Mm-hmm. He was a singer in Magic Mike XXL, which I did not know. Because I've never seen that movie.
Yeah, I've never seen the first or the second one.
Yeah, I really don't want to see that with you, though. Well, let's not watch that together. That's a little weird. I did know he was in The Martian.
I do remember that. And
great role.
It's depressing how The Martian came out 3 years ago. Seems like it was yesterday. Oh, time's flying, man.
Yeah, I feel old. That was great, where he's like the stapler as a spaceship.
I really like The Martian, to be honest.
It was a great film.
I think it was nominated for Best Picture that year.
It might have been. I don't know. I heard the book is good.
Yeah, I heard the book is, like most things, somehow better than the movie, even though I love the movie. So
I hear they're just different. I don't know. I know the author. We're going to sidetrack. Anyway, we should talk about The Martian. It's some interesting
next episode.
Stuff. What I was going to say is kind of an interesting. I'll say this one thing. I know the author kind of released that book initially as like a series of blog posts. And so rather than releasing the whole book, you know, in a whole chunk, I don't think he had a publisher or anything yet. And so he just released it chapter by chapter as like each one was a blog post. And he would build a following that way. And then he turned it into a book. And then
that's cool.
That got turned into a movie, which is, I think, a really neat way to write something. And it's kind of related to this because you'll see Donald, you know, he's releasing his music iteratively over time. Mm-hmm. He's laddering up in the type of stuff he's doing. Yeah, that's kind of a weak segue, but, you know, kind of.
Yeah.
Five out of 10.
Yeah.
Somewhat
that's
related.
6 or 7. Yeah, yeah, okay. That's not bad.
Yeah, it's good. Later that year in 2015, FX ordered the pilot of Glover's show Atlanta to a 10-episode season. Yeah, boy. Do you know anything about how pilots and work in TV shows and how they get ordered? I don't. Honestly.
Not much at all. I know, like you mentioned, the process takes a long time. So it seems like, oh, yeah, they just wrote this TV series this past year, when in reality, they wrote it 3 years ago. Usually FX or some company, someone buys the rights to it, which they may or may not ever make it. And I think with a pilot, or I guess they ordered an entire season. I guess normally they shoot a pilot, and then if it's on like NBC, ABC, like, you know, the old networks, they do like test audiences and they see, okay, this pilot sucks, get rid of the show. Or, you know, they use that to kind of determine it. As far as nowadays, I think it's different. Like, you know, they ordered a whole season. I think they just went for it and then they hope that people like it. Which people did, because it's an awesome show. But that's something I have to read more into. Really, the only thing I know from it is the showrunner documentary, which was on Netflix, like we mentioned. Not really sure if it's on Netflix anymore, but I'd really recommend watching that if you're listening.
Great documentary. We need to make a list of like the top documentaries that all aspiring great video creators should make.
It's really good. It's like kind of depressing because it's incredibly difficult work, the way they made it. It's like the best job I've ever had, and I wish I was dead. And it's like, oh, I want to make a show as well. But no, it's awesome. And Atlanta's awesome. So that's when I first heard of, around this time too, is when I was like, oh yeah, this Donald Glover guy's really talented. Like, oh yeah, he was in Community, and I was an idiot, and I didn't know that Childish Gambino was also him. I was like, man, they
you
really
weren't the only
similar.
One, apparently. Apparently, this has been like a huge revelation to people in the past couple months that Childish Gambino and Donald Glover are the same person.
Yeah, which is sad because they are. I don't know. I can't believe I didn't know that at one point in time, but that was 3 years ago. So
yeah, wild. So 2 years after, you know, the wheels start turning on the show, pilot gets ordered. The next year, September 2016, Atlanta premieres, and people love it. The critics love it. Glover writes the show. Sometimes he directs. He's executive producing it, and he's starring as one of the main characters. He's, you know, earned marks, this Princeton dropouts, and he's, like, acting as the manager for his rapper cousin, Paperboy, who's, like, kind of taken off in, like, the Atlanta rap scene. They're navigating around it in all these awkward situations and these... it's a really interesting show. I like it. Michaela didn't like it at all, I think.
Boo.
I know.
Is Michaela there?
No, she's not.
Boo here. Her.
but yeah, I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
I thought it was really clever. Glover's gotten a lot of different awards for the show. He's gotten the Golden Globes award for best television series, musical or comedy, and best actor. Which for his for a television series, musical or comedy, and then also a Primetime Emmy Award for Outstanding Lead Actor in a Comedy Series and Outstanding Director for a Comedy Series, making him the first black person to win an Emmy for the latter category, the director for a comedy series. So bringing home the bacon.
He's dominating.
In a award town, yeah.
It was a good year for old Donny Boy, or good few years. The past, like decade has been pretty good for him, but I don't know.
That's yeah, Atlanta's great.
Yeah.
I just started watching the second season. Aces. Later in, at the end of 2016, that winter, Donald releases Awaken My Love, his next album, which charts at number 5 on the Billboard 200 and sold 500,000 albums. So, way stepped up, like the album sales shot way higher on this, and it was also a very different type of album than his other ones. This was not a rap album. This was more like a funk and R&B album. And this is where you get like Redbone, which is, I think without argument, This Is America may have replaced it as the most famous song, but up until that point was easily his most famous song. There was a YouTube viral video of a girl like selling Girl Scout cookies to Redbone. And it's amazing. It was like on Ellen that. When he was on Ellen, and he bought like everyone in the audience Girl Scout cookies. It was amazing.
Oh yeah.
It was that kind of album. What I didn't know, did you know about the VR headset that he sent out?
I had no idea.
Okay,
I was
check this
that.
Out. Yeah, wild, right? So the vinyl release of Awaken My Love included a virtual reality headset and an app that let you access these live performances, these series of these three exclusive concerts that he'd done a few months prior called the Pharos Experience, which I had no idea. That's such a cool idea. I'd never even heard of him doing that, but I think that's a neat idea for VR stuff. I would totally check that out. The album was super loved by critics. It was nominated for in the Grammys for Album of the Year and Best Urban Contemporary Album, and Redbone won a Grammy, what's up, for Best Traditional R&B Performance. And Glover even performed at the show that year. So, musical career reaching new heights, which is nanners. I mean, what's up with that? So, the TV show, like directing, which I could kind of see as like, I kind of see that as the pinnacle of like his writing career with Atlanta. Cause again, like the writing is like really what makes that show, and the directing and producing. He's also acting in that. He's also, is now like a breakout artist, performing at the Grammys, winning a Grammy. I mean, you can't go much higher than that. The next year in 2017, Time named Donald Glover to its annual 100 Most Influential People in the World. Tina Fey, his old boss from 30 Rock, wrote the entry on him and said that Donald embodies his generation's belief that people can be whatever they want and change what it is they want at any time.
It's good.
Yeah.
Wise words from Tina.
Mm.
It's true, though.
Tina.
Teen Bean.
You had to go and ruin it like that, didn't you? Shame on you.
I'm a child. I am a frat daddy that has not grown up yet. The master of bad nicknames.
We're just going to forget that happened and move on. In June 2017, Glover plays Aaron Davis, uncle to Miles Morales in Spider-Man Homecoming. So I told you about the whole Miles Morales thing.
Yep.
This is kind of like an homage to that. Actually, the director was specifically thinking of that. And you know that there's the whole Donald for Spider-Man campaign. That was a big part of him getting the cameo in that new reboot in the Marvel Spider-Man under Disney. The next year in May 2018, This Is America, so we're coming up on the current year, was performed, you know, while he was dual hosting SNL, like we talked about before. The song debuted at number one and, became, you know, basically his most successful song ever. At least like to this point, I think. Redbone is probably better established and more listened to, but like in terms of like the amount of time it's been out, I think
definitely in terms of just like sheer exposure, I would assume that This Is America, if not has already surpassed it, but it will eventually. Like it was a freaking like revelation all over Twitter, if that says anything, because
exactly
days and days. But no, it's awesome.
And he's going to be Simba in the new Lion King. So I think that brings us pretty much up to present. How underaccomplished do you feel now, Jake?
I know. Oh, my gosh. If I could just do one of those things on the list, I would be like, man, I finally made it. But dude just goes from next thing to next thing, building off his successes. And like good old Teen Bean, I'm just kidding, Tina Fey said, he wants to do this. He wants to branch into different fields and whatnot, and he excels at it. And he's like my hero. I don't want to be a rapper for the betterment of society. I think it's best that I don't try to become one. But yeah, it's something I think we can all agree on. But just writing, comedy, everything, so impressive to be that good at so many different things. It's incredible. He's awesome. One of the most talented artists, just straight artists. Sometimes people say artist and it's like, ugh, like, okay, settle down, guy. This guy is a true artist through and through. So talented. I want to be him when I grow up, even though I'm a 25-year-old man. So it's a little too late for that. But man, Donald Man is my hero.
Donald Man, that's what's up. And so I just kind of wanted to draw just a few quick lessons out of some of the things that Donald Glover did, some of the things from his past that kind of set him up to be where he is now. And hopefully we can draw a few commonalities, a few lessons, a few things to aspire to. And one of the first things I think that is just really cool about his story is that he started on YouTube before it was cool. He's like one of the first YouTube breakout stars, you know, with this Derek comedy thing, you know, and they were all, you know, just doing this improv stuff, and they brought it to this tightly scripted YouTube thing, designing it to get shared. And it kind of opened the door to them to create their own feature film. And that's what unlocks the opportunity to get cast as an actor and make the shift from writing to acting to be in Community. And so just so many things that are like, it develops, I think, a lot of the way he thinks about comedy and a lot of the ways he thinks about acting. And he gets to try all these things and just make his own stuff and make his own opportunities. Like, no one was telling him what to do, but he got to just create it and put it out there and see success. And he was able to then use that to level up, ladder up into this new opportunity where they pushed all the chips in the table, created their first feature film, and got noticed by Dan Harmon. And then he was able to jump to that next opportunity and not just stay at that YouTube creator level where he was at, because he knew he wanted to do many other different things.
Mm-hmm. Man, that's like super. I remember Derek Comedy back in the day, and it's just crazy to see where he is now to where, because I mean, obviously those videos are like hilarious, but I'm watching one right now, and it's, you know, obviously they were improv, but just the camera lighting and the lighting and the camera quality and everything. Obviously the main thing that shines through is, you know, the writing and everything. And it just shows that from humble beginnings, like you mentioned, if you just keep building off of it, it can, you know, who knows what it can turn into, as long as you put in the work and as long as you, like, you just have to start somewhere. That's a like the biggest thing I need to kind of cling on.
You watch the Bellany video?
Yeah.
Just go watch that one. It's just I think it's a great example of the kind of humor. Yeah, it's just this like film class, which it reminded me of like the classes that you and I were in, you know, where you'd go and like you'd shoot like a little movie over the weekend, and then you have to present it to your class of other people in like journalism school or whatever who had made mm-hmm. movies. You had to do this too, right?
No, yeah. All the time.
Exactly. So it'd be, okay, who wants to show their movie? And so it's the same situation in this YouTube show. And, you know, Donald Glover goes, oh, I do. And it, like the whole movie is just a very thinly veiled reference to his freshman college girlfriend, who is also in the class, you learn later, who has been cheating on him. And changes the name from Melanie to Bellany. And there's this ridiculous music during the credits. And it's just, he also helped all his other friends with their movies. And so they're all about the same thing. It's
the classic. Man. Yeah. From humble beginnings, 2006, man, that was so long ago, yet it feels like it was yesterday. I'm old, but
I think the other thing, one of the other things that really sticks out to me about Donald Glover and how he was able to have this meteoric rise is just how he was able to outproduce his competition and really adjust and tweak and learn things along the way. I mean, just look at his journey from that first mixtape, or, you know, using a pirated version of Fruit Loops, whatever the heck that is, to make music in high school, to winning a Grammy and having the most successful like music video on YouTube of all time in like a weekend or whatever. And he's just been super prolific in every area where he's had massive success. And so you see like Redbone and you're like, well, that just, you know, he's a genius. It's like, no, he put out like six mixtapes before that. He put out several albums. He put in all these years and years of work, and he was really passionate about it, and he's constantly working. You know, the writing didn't, you know, that is making Atlanta such a smash hit right now. It did not come from nowhere. There were years of, you know, in the writer's room at 30 Rock, there were years of getting ready and, you know, just working on silly stuff in high school, years of scripting silly videos while he was a writer, you know, with Derek Comedy. I'm sure he played a massive role in scripting all those. And so he's always doing it. He's constantly changing, and he's not sitting back or kind of settling. But when he learns how to master a YouTube video, he moves on to a feature film. When he learns how to do a feature film, he learns how to, you know, act and put input on that. When he learns how to do that, he learns to put the two together in Atlanta, where he's doing both at the same time, and he's always laddering up. I think it's also just inspiration to me to just remember that so much of creativity and getting better and improving as a video creator is just practice over time, you know, and that there's that time aspect and that production aspect that, you know, okay, if you want to learn more in a shorter period of time, make more stuff. And a lot of it, there is also an aspect of it, some things just take time. Even if you're being super prolific, you know, you can't cram 10 years of experience into 10 months of not sleeping and slamming Red Bulls and creating stuff. There are some things that it takes time to digest, to get feedback, to iterate and navigate your path and find your own style and find your own voice. And so I think that's also encouraging to see just his, you know, the changes between his mixtapes, the way his music changes, the way his acting changes, and he takes on more diverse roles. You know, that same actor who played Troy Barnes in Community is not the same actor who nailed the Billy Dee Williams voice with Lando, right? I mean, it's so much has changed in that time, and you can tell he's really grown along with his craft, and that doesn't happen overnight. Yeah. Any other insights you had? I got one more, but I want to...
I mean, you're basically just wording all of my answers just better than I can, so you're just not leaving me with much else to say. I think just, like we mentioned earlier, of just, he's not an overnight success as much as it sounds like it. And a lot of just success usually emanates from kind of maybe an inherent talent that people have. Obviously, you know, Donald, I need to stop calling him Donald as if I know him. Donald Glover is like super talented, but he got the most out of it over putting in work over years and years and years. And it's just kind of inspiring to me because, like you mentioned with YouTube, he didn't, you know, he made stuff just with his friends. Like, you know, he made it well. He put in time for it. But he had, you know, what was available, and YouTube was like, you know, a newer thing at the time. But he put it out there for people to see, and like, he just made stuff. And he just made it on the reg. Like, he made it, you know, I don't know if it was weekly or how often they uploaded, but he just kept, you know, pounding the grindstone and putting in work. And over a period of a decade, was it 06 when it first came out? That will always yield some form of results. You might not ever be as super popular or as like successful in the end, like as him. I seriously doubt anyone listening to this, maybe a few of you, depending if you have like a few million listeners, will like achieve that amount of success. But just putting in the time and the work, and like you mentioned, like, you know, what's the term? Laddering, where you just build off of the next thing. And that's the biggest thing, and just laddering up. And don't be like boxed into the one thing. He wanted to branch out of YouTube, and he used the skills he gained from it to do something else he wanted to. And he was in that wheelhouse for a few years. And that's kind of comforting because I want to do things other than just YouTube, and I want to do things other than, you know, radio work, what have you. And it seems kind of daunting. It seems kind of like, okay, maybe I should focus more on this. But, you know, you have that freedom to just go out there and just make something, and it might not be good at first, but like with most things, just you put time and effort, and eventually you'll get out what you put in. You might not be as like super talented as Donald. I could not make a successful like EP or mixtape. I don't know. I'm gonna try. I could name one maybe. We'll see. I don't know. But it's just super inspiring to see where he came from. And because, I mean, like my YouTube videos were just like with me and my friends, and to see, oh yeah, like he created a career for himself, you know, and it all kind of, you know, what's the old kind of Chinese proverb? It's been done to death on like, you know, Facebook posts, but like the journey of 1,000 steps, you know, like begins with one. And super cliche and dumb.
Of 1,000 miles begins with
1,000 miles. I totally ruined that.
1,000 steps begins with
the one step. Like, well, technically, yeah. But,
that's just super cool to see. Like,
yeah.
No, like that kid.
My thoughts on that.
No, that's good. That's a good thing. And I think another thing that kind of goes along with what you're saying is, Donald Glover, you can see it at a few key sort of points throughout his career. He knows when to end a good thing. He knows how to end well, right? When Community was no longer taking him where he knew that he needed to go in his career, where he wanted to go, he decided to end it. Even though it was a bummer, even as a fan, I remember like, no, he was one of my favorite characters. I was so bummed, and it probably ended up being a good decision because Community went downhill for a couple years after he left. But, you know, he went on, who knew that Atlanta was in the works and that the New Heights in his music career were in the works and that crazy roles like Lando were ahead. You know, no one could have known. He probably didn't even know, but, about all those things, but it opened the door. It definitely would have been possible for him to do all those things and stay on Community full time. It just wouldn't have happened. And so knowing when to cut that off is a good thing. And also even he announced at his last tour in 2017 that he is retiring the name Childish Gambino. At least we think that's what he's saying. It's still a little bit unclear. A lot of people are, you know, all buzzing about this, but he's been interviewed about it. Basically what happened is that in the last show of his tour, right before he walks off, he says, "I'll see you for the next Gambino album." And then he just walks off and doesn't explain it. And people are just freaking out with their iPhones on Twitter. What? You know, what's going on? But he just walks off, and later in an interview, he just basically says, you know, "I don't think that my music career is necessary. There's nothing worse than a third sequel." And he says, quote, "I like it when something's good, and when it comes back, there's a reason to come back. There's a reason to do that," end quote. And so, is he done with music? Who knows? It's hard. It would be kind of a shame because he's so talented. And so I don't think he's definitely not done as a creator. And I highly suspect the music will continue in other forms. It'll just look differently. It may not be under the Childish Gambino name. It may not be rap. It may just be different things. But one thing's for sure, if you look at his career and just the way he's come through the ranks, he has not slowed down. He has not stayed in one silo. He has not stayed in one lane. But this triple threat of acting, I actually really want to see him go back and do more comedy. I'd love to see another Donald Glover special where he's doing like, you know, like millennial Steve Martin, where he can do music and he can do acting and he can do comedy. Like
that would be
that's
cool.
What I want to see. Cause I want, like, I watched the Steve Martin and Martin Short special on Netflix, and now that I think about it, I'm like, man, how much better would this be with like Aziz Ansari and like Donald Glover?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe not Aziz Ansari. I don't know.
Someone else. Other like equivalent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it would kind of work. I mean, Steve Martin's the one that's like music, acting, comedy. And then Martin Short is just like a weird, tiny guy who just comes out and surprises you. So I don't know. That could work.
That's a really good like description of it. Yeah.
I love those guys. There, like I know them. Yeah,
yeah.
We just need to be famous so we can start talking.
We just saw them
like
last
this.
Week. Yeah, you know, exactly. They just flew up to Oklahoma City for no reason.
If you're listening, Steve and Martin, you can
come
hang
please.
With us. You can be on our
please. If you're listening to this podcast, please be a guest. We'll fly you up, and we'll
don't say that we're poor.
Yeah. Well, you guys can fly up for us.
We'll pay for your Chick-fil-A.
Maybe buy some beers. Yeah,
no Chick-fil-A costs will be spared. Anyways, I think that is a good place to kind of end it. Donald Glover, I learned a lot of stuff from this, even just going through his journey, the spec script, you know, all these, the producing his own movie. We've hit it all to death at this point, but I think over the course of those 15 years, I will just kind of leave it at this. Like if more people worked like Donald Glover did for those 15 years and used their, like, what talent they had. Maybe you don't have three different ones like him, but if you had your one
just
and you
one,
worked for 15 years like he did, I think you'd see a lot more people with compound effects like he did. I think one of the biggest underrated secrets here is that he was just willing to work really hard at what was in front of him. He was able to balance those different things of music, of acting, of writing all together. I don't think a lot of people have that or can do that or are willing to do that. It's probably not a good idea for most people, but a lot of people probably have one thing kind of like that, you know, may not be that specifically, but have a talent they could develop for 15 years and get those compound results. And so, I think that's something that I take away that's super meaningful to me. And you know, I don't need to be Donald Glover, but I can see what the sort of the fruit of his labor over 15 years, yeah, a decade definitely. And a half has brought when it's Man. Applied effectively and laddered up and you choose to say no and you choose to outproduce your competition.
Yeah.
What about you? Any closing thoughts?
Same thing. No, yeah. I mean, basically just I need to focus on my talents and my strengths at hand. Like you mentioned, Donald Glover's a rare kind of breed. Not many people can balance all the things he does. I know for a fact I can't. And we kind of mentioned this in the, you know, like the One Thing podcast, but, and just hard work. I mean, it's simple in theory, but it's very difficult in practice to just like, all right, I'm going to focus on like my YouTube channel, which I was just kind of like, I've had the realization when I've been trying to kind of do that and this book, and I'm trying to make like a kid's book. And I'm like my friend in New York where it's like, okay, I'm going to make this a light line for it. And it's really stretched me thin again to where I'm like, okay, I just need to stop, work really hard on making my YouTube channel more successful. And successful in my mind isn't necessarily Derek comedy levels of successful. I just want to make, I want to get to like 100 subscribers this year. And I think that's really obtainable. It's like a, you know, like a lower goal. It's like, well, how, why not 10 million? And it's like, no, I just want to get to 100 first. And it's like, you know, like that, that laddering thing of like, I just want to get there. And then like, let's see what else happens after that. And something else you mentioned at the end, which is really cool, of just knowing when to quit. And it's a different, you know, with Donald, but I feel like I can apply it to myself and other people listening can also kind of apply to themselves when, and it also, this is kind of different, just in general, but sometimes you're working on something or you're putting a lot of effort into something and it's just not working. I can't really explain it where it's agonizing, you know, with our old blog post or something in the past where, you know, we were really putting a lot of time and effort into something and it just wasn't, you know, the passion wasn't there. The love wasn't there. It just wasn't going to work. And part of me has a fear of just kind of dropping that and moving on to something else. And I feel like Donald Glover has not had that problem where it's like, I just don't want to do this anymore. So I'm just going to move on to something else. So that's one thing that I kind of want to apply to myself where I've been trying to be better at, you know, pushing through, working hard, which yes, you have to have that. But there's also just a wisdom that you need to have of, okay, I don't need to focus on this. This isn't working right now. What can I do instead that will, you know, kind of grow my skills and kind of grow me into like what I want to be, as opposed to just kind of wasting this time and effort on something that's kind of just going nowhere. There's been a lot of stories and a lot of scripts and stuff that I've been trying to write where it's just like, no, I can't quit. I quit on a lot of things, you know, I don't want to, and I pour so much time and I agonize over it and it just sucks. So yeah, that's kind of a takeaway, kind of a weird way to take, you know, that last thing about him, you know, dropping like his, you know, pseudonym, whatever, but sometimes you just have to drop what's not working and just keep on going to the next thing. And I think, Donald Glover is really good at that. And that's something I need to apply to my own content, my own videos and whatnot. So
boom, I dig it. Away. Yeah. I think that's good stuff. Well, I think that lands this plane. And so if you want to check out the highlights from what we talked about, go ahead and go to sixstarsonly.com/1010. And you can find all the sweet deets about this episode there. You like that? Sweet deets?
Sweet deets. Like almost that. As good as, was it Teen Bean?
Teen Bean. Much better than Teen Bean. Yeah. So unless so you want to be a Teen Bean.
I love that.
So Jake, who's apparently better than Donald Glover at naming things, Teen Bean.
Obviously.
Get out of
Teen
here.
Teen Bean's classic.
Tell me about the art of leaving reviews.
So I mentioned earlier how if I could just do one thing that Donald Glover did, then I would feel like I made it. I'd feel like I truly made it if you guys would go to iTunes and just leave us a 5-star review.
Wow. Give this
man stretch there. Yeah.
A Grammy. Not a Grammy. What's the one for acting? An Emmy, an Oscar. That's for TV. Oscar, there we go.
Academy Award.
Oscar, what an ugly name for such a beautiful award.
Ugh. I guess it is weird when you think about it. But yeah, just go and leave us a review and just give us feedback. We say this every episode. Your guys' feedback is really important to us because it tells us what we need to get better at, what we did well. Don't spare us. Just say what you want to say about us, and we will take it to heart, and it will change, and we'll grow, and we'll learn, because that's the point of the podcast, is to get better at this stuff, because we're still new, trying to get better. We're trying to get to Donald Glover tier of podcasting, to James Altucher level, I guess. I don't know like what the podcast equivalent is. But yeah, make sure and leave us a review.
Coming for you.
Ira Glass.
There you go.
There you go.
Beautiful. Yeah. I love that. Cool. I think we're good here.
Then we're done, so.
Let's get
out
of here.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Let's roll. Let's go watch some Derek comedy. I don't know.
See, I do really want to watch it.
Mystery show.
Mystery show.
Yeah.